scripture reading today is coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. You've heard me mention this before. It's put together by a group called Priests for Equality. Hear now these words. Then God said, "Earth, bring forth all kinds of living soul, cattle, things that crawl, and wild animals of all kinds." And so it was. God made all kinds of wild animals and cattle and everything that crawls on the ground, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image to be like us. Let them be stewards of the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, the wild animals, and everything that crawls on the ground." Humankind was created as God's reflection. In the divine image, God created them. Female and male, God made them. May we add blessing and understanding the reading of these words. Bruce, if you would do me a favor and play us a little music, we sure would see you tomorrow.
There was a song that was written about these delicious tomatoes they used to have up at the Best Way. A guy named Don would bring them in every year. He stopped doing that, but for a while it was great. And I wrote this song for him. It's called Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. July, I got a craving all year. I've been saving up at the Best Way, Don's Hall of Man, several boxes of my best friends. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Get up now, not later. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Fat and juicy and deep dark red, perfect tomato, two slices of bread, preferably white bread with just a little pepper, fruit or vegetable, it don't matter. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Get them now, not later. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. All year long at the grocery, tomatoes are hard. Juicy. Come July for 50 cents a pound, you can eat your fill while it's still around. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Get them now, not later. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Tar Heels turpentine, long leaf pine, Carolina stuff is awfully fine. Nothing better fits the bill than Don's Tomatoes from Gibsonville. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Get them now, not later. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes, get them now, not later. Don's Homegrown Tomatoes.
Thank you. Now, I promise that I didn't tell Bruce what the scripture was going to be, but if there's ever any doubt whether there's a God or not, when I pick tomatoes out of my yard and make a sandwich, I'm pretty sure there is a God. So, thank you for that, Bruce. My message today is going to, for a day like today, seem a little bit, I don't know, it's going to take a moment for some folks to be on board, maybe. But I hope you'll stick with me, just hear me out. It's entitled Namaste, Why I Don't Celebrate the Fourth. So quite a few years ago, my wife and I, we made a conscious decision to not celebrate the 4th of July. Now, I'd like to share something about that with you, but I want this to be clear. This is a personal decision. It's what's right for me. It isn't right for you. Well, you do you, right? You do you. That's part of what life is about. You do you. As for my wife and I, particularly now that Juneteenth is a federal holiday, well, we won't be celebrating for it. And there are lots of ways that I could explain why we made that decision. But possibly the easiest way to explain is the concept of namaste. And we'll get to the specifics of that in just a bit, but let's spend some time thinking about the philosophical and theological implications of namaste. So namaste is an ancient Sanskrit word that essentially means the divine in me bows to the divine in you. From a linguistic perspective, nama actually means bow. Az, namas, is I, and ste, of course, means you, or te, means you. So, namaste literally means bow me you, or I bow to you. And the sort of larger meaning of the word, however, is much greater than the simple concept of humbling yourself before someone, even though that's certainly part of the meaning as well. Now, in general, I don't really like the practice of boiling down the spiritual concept to a pithy little phrase like the divine in me honors the divine in you. While it is certainly true that it can be helpful, making it sort of easy to hold on to memorize some, and to hold on to and carry with you rather than memorizing some long string of a spiritual battle. But it's important to keep in mind that there is more to namaste than what we can fit on the side of a coffee mug or on a bumper sticker. Namaste encapsulates the understanding that we all are one. It highlights the reality that beneath the outward appearance that make you seem different from others, you are made of the same stuff. Or as Carl Sagan likes to put it, we're all made of the same star stuff. Our singer-songwriter Pete once said, we all bleed red. We all cry tears on the endless search of the meaning of life and love. Basically, we are all more the same than we are different. Tantric philosophy teaches that everything that exists is one divine consciousness that longs to experience itself in different forms. Judaism and Christianity, yeah, as we read today earlier, that we are all made in the image of God. And then unfortunately, it's sort of, I guess, in our human nature to forget this truth. That every person, thought, feeling, and experience is a perfect expression of the one divine awareness. When a being does forget, feeling separate or less than or better than and so on, well, it suffers. The teachings say that one of our highest spiritual goals should be simply remembering who you are. By saying namaste, well, saying it while understanding what it means and meaning everything that it says, you are saying that you see others for what you actually are. Tantric teachings would say that it's an affirmation of the choice to identify with the God consciousness rather than with the ego. which tells us that we are somehow superior or inferior to any other person. It's a conscious choice, a conscious choice to take the spiritual perspective into the laboratory of life. So ask yourself, what would life be like if you saw others as perfectly whole? What if you saw yourself that way? The Bhagavad Gita 6:29 puts it this way. The man whose self is disciplined in yoga, whose perception is the same everywhere, sees himself in all creatures and all creatures in himself. In his translation, the 1,000-year-old tantric spiritual text called the Recognition Sutras, scholar Christopher Bell Wallace describes how this understanding might affect your approach to life. He said, once you become aware of the true nature of reality, everything you do becomes an act of simply living your ordinary daily life with full awareness becomes a complete practice of meditation, a perfect form of worship, an offering to all beings and to being itself. Tantra teaches that because there is only one in the universe, all actions are in truth the divine exploring itself, reverencing itself, worshiping itself. Many people are familiar with the idea of Christ within. In Hinduism's premier holy text, the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Krishna within. And the Quran tells us that Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein. The Buddhist scriptures talk about the Buddha within, and correspondingly, the Adi Granth, which is the Sikh's holy text, says that the one God is all-pervading and alone dwells in the mind. Though many religious people, know the idea that God is to be found within them. Most folks seem, unfortunately, to imagine that somehow it's only a small and divided piece of God that's inside of them. Or that all it means is that there is some aspect of God within us. However, other passages in the scriptures of the world's religions, clearly state not only that God is indeed within us, but also that God is undivided, indivisible, and always one. For instance, this idea is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 17, saying, although the superior soul, which is code language for the God within, although the superior soul appears to be divided, he is never divided. He is situated as one. French idealist philosopher and Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin put it this way. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Or C.S. Lewis once put it, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. The reality is that it is somewhat surprising that more people don't live with this namaste perspective. And as you've already heard, most spiritual practices, most of them have some form of it. Many cultures do as well. The Hawaiian greeting, aloha, actually has a very similar meaning. One interpretation of Aloha means, I bow to you, the life within me honors the life within you. The Zulu people are one of South Africa's largest ethnic groups, and their greeting is Sawubona. And as we talked about in this talk before, in a talk before here, the greetings actually used by many people in South Africa, not just the Zulus. And Sawubona means, I see you. And then the culturally appropriate response is Ngoma, which means, I am here. I see you. I am here. Unfortunately, translating from one language to another frequently, it can lose some of the implied meaning, but integral to the Zulu greeting and response is the sense that until you saw me, I didn't exist. By recognizing me, you brought me into existence. A Zulu folk saying clarifies this. It's Umuntu Nigumuntu Nagabuntu, which means a person is a person because of other people. A person of other people. When I try to put this all together, I end up with three key components to the practice of namaste, at least how I see it. First, we need to come from a place of understanding that we are made in the image and likeness of God and that our true essence is one way or another divine. Or as Muhammad put it, whoever knows themselves knows God. Second, we need to recognize that that truth is true for each other, not just some each others either, but all others. And finally, and I would argue most importantly, we need to not only recognize that reality for ourselves and for others, but we need to act accordingly. We need to come from a consciousness of namaste. We need to want nothing less than to honor, to bless, to appreciate, to serve, and to love others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that when one suffers, we all suffer. Science has even began to hint at this reality as well. The fact is that it may be much more than just a theologically or philosophically sound perspective. It's beginning to look like it is a biologically sound perspective as well. Now, the phenomenon I'm alluding to is something I've spoken about before. It's called quantum entanglement. Basically, it seems to be suggesting that the entire universe is really a unified and inseparable oneness. Entanglement is the quantum mechanical property where two photons who occupy the same point in space at the same point in time then get split. They essentially become a singlified whole when they're there first, and then they split. And further investigation has revealed a phenomenon called non-locality. And what they found was that these two photons can actually influence each other instantaneously, even if they're both located at the opposite sides of the universe. Though separated in space, they seem to have an instant communication with one another, as if they were one singularity. It makes Carl Sagan's perspective that we are all stars all the more intriguing. The Big Bang singularity suggests that the entire universe occupied the same point of space before bang. And as we just heard, quantum entanglement tells us that when quantum particles occupy the same space, they become permanently entangled able to impact each other without regard to space and time. So it's certainly possible that every single atom in the universe is entangled with every other atom in the universe. Well, logically, I have to deduce then that even though it all started out with the Big Bang, expanded and distributed its mass across the universe, it also exists at the single, unified, and inseparable whole. The 2020 Nobel laureate and black hole pioneer, Roger Penrose, even believes, and this goes back to what we spoke of from thousands of years of tantric belief, he believes, based on the science, that all of this just might indicate one unified consciousness of the universe. We are all stars. We are all inextricably connected. The divine in me, see the divine in you. And that is why I actively and intentionally no longer celebrate Independence Day. Once again, my decision. I'm not implying any mental scruple, it's just where I am in my spiritual journey. I could not bring myself to celebrate my freedoms when the very government that I would be celebrating is actively removing freedoms from others. From unaccompanied children at our borders being put at risk for trafficking because of the current administration's policies, to the lack of motivation to pay reparations to families whose relatives built this nation while enslaved, to no real efforts being made by the government to eliminate hunger and homelessness and lack of health care. And the list could go on and on. Our nation is marginalizing group after group, creating a multi-level culture of privilege or lack thereof. I mean, personally, I just can't celebrate Independence Day knowing the reality of the nation asking me to celebrate. I just wouldn't be able to look at the marginalized and say, Namaste, Aloha, Solomon Lassi. We have a lot of work to do. And a Namaste perspective, even with those with whom we disagree, is exactly the kind of thing that could begin to heal our nation and the world. So I say to you, Namaste, Aloha, Sawubon. I see you. Amen. Bruce, can we have another tune for you, sir?
Well, my wife, Laura, and Louis Armstrong, both born on the 4th of July. Louis Armstrong is not here, at least not. But Laura is here, so I'm going to do a song for her. It's called You Got Away. You got away, don't you, baby? You chase away these days, thunder and the ridge. In the willows swells the joyful, as voices from below scatter bones on the newly fallen snow. chains of darkness, fired factories, the worlds of lonely wandering with our necessity. How we dance away the hours among flowers, stars, and streams, dreams of morning light. But you gotta wait, don't you, babe? Chase away these days. Thunder and Ridge. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ridge. I always love having you and your music with us.
It's always fun to hear.
Let's take some time now and turn a little more inward. Breathe in, breathe out. Allow it to be a meditation, a prayer, whatever is the most centering for you. I will include some words that you can pray along with or allow to close open and grapple those that lead you in the direction you need right now. Let's bow our heads. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Sadly, we seem to spend most of our time defining how others are not like us. Implicitly regulating them to something that is less respectable, less correct, less worthy, less acceptable than us. We create the divisions based on false standards that we have created for ourselves without seeing that we created the standards in part to reinforce the division and the madness of continues. We bracket out the teachings of Jesus, telling us to love one another, even those we may consider enemies. We sometimes bracket out the words of the prophets, telling us to do justice, to love kindness, to love humbly. We sometimes bracket out the reality that as spiritual descendants of Abraham, we are to be a blessing to the earth, not simply by our existence, but rather through our actions, through our interactions, through our love. May we make a pledge, a promise, a covenant, to work more diligently towards being the people we are called to be, the people we are created to be. May we be strengthened in our efforts. May we be encouraged in the difficult times. And may we stand firmly as we stand together. May we see the divine in all people. And may we be inspired to a more loving way of life.